Good morning, church.
Good morning.
My name is Becky Pembe. I pastor a church called Sovereign Grace Bible Church just outside Centurion in a township called Olivenhout Bosch. It's a great joy for me and my family, my wife, my children, to be with you, to be here at Katoras Bible Church, that I may have this opportunity to preach God's word this morning. So please turn then in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, looking at verses 1 to 5 this morning. Colossians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul, together with Timothy, they write to the church of Colossae, a church under attack from false teachers who are blaspheming and diminishing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are looking down on the deity of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were teaching that actually Jesus was not God. And the focus of this epistle then written by the Apostle Paul is on the preeminence and sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is all and in all. Jesus is all that we need and all that we have. He encourages a proper view of Christ Jesus, a view of the Lord that will serve as an antidote to false teaching and heresy, but also as a building block of the Christian life and doctrine in this life for the life to come. And the title of this message then this morning, The Risen Life. The Risen Life. We read from verse 1 to verse 6. Though I'll concentrate much verse 1 to 5. It reads as follows as I read from the ESV. If then you have been risen with Christ, if then, in other words, if you claim to be risen with Christ, if this is what you call yourself, if this is what you think you are, that's what this is about. So, if then you have been risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of this, the wrath of God is coming. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. The question is then, what sets you apart from the rest of the world? What sets the Christian apart from the sinful or unbelieving world that is out there? I want you to remember the Pharisees. The Pharisees in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, they thought what separated them from the rest of the world was to keep the law, praying long prayers on the street corners, fasting and paying their tithes each and every time when it was required. But the Lord Jesus Christ said to them in Matthew 23, verse 14, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You devour widows' houses and make long prayers just for show." Before all that, there was a time in the past where Israel thought what separated her from the rest of the world was bringing offerings to God, singing good or great songs to the Lord, humanly speaking, coming together just to have fun and singing. They thought that separated them apart. Even when they were in Babylon, they cared most about singing. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and we cried because we hanged our harps in the willows. How can they ask us to sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Singing was what people thought maybe separated them from the rest of the world. And it's good to sing. But listen to what God says in Amos chapter 5, verse 23. Take away from me the noise of your songs, to the melodies of your harps I will not listen. There is something else that the Lord wants. It is not the song. It is not keeping the law. It is not standing on the street corners and singing or praying long prayers. There is something that the Lord wants from us more and more. Let me save you the trouble. A closer relationship with Him. Friends, I believe that this passage then reveals what should set you apart from the rest of the world. And is that you have been risen with Christ. That's what sets you apart from the rest of the world. You, if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have turned away from your sin, you have trusted in Him, you have been risen with Christ. And now you live a risen life. This chapter begins, if you look at it, it begins with the words, if then. That relates to the contrast there is between the life of a believer and the life of the false believers. A contrast there is between the life of a believer and the true preachers of the gospel and the false teachers that the Apostle Paul was addressing in chapter 2. Because in chapter 2, the Apostle Paul refutes the errors of the false teachers of the day, who had come to Colossae and teaching and minimizing Christ and promoting legalism. And now in chapter number 3, his aim is to have this young church focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. This young church needs to focus, to look only unto Jesus, forgetting the things of this world, looking away from the teachings of the false teachers in this world, looking away from the ideas of the world. I think that applies to us too. Looking away from the troubles of this world. He wants them to focus on Jesus Christ, that they may shun the wrong and do the right, that they may have a strategy of living in this life and living a godly life. A strategy of living in this world and living under the shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. A strategy of living and maintaining a life, and a life that is pleasing unto God. A strategy of maintaining a living passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to have a strategy of maintaining a living passion for the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of chaos. Because that's just me. I just believe we are living in a midst of chaos. There should be a strategy of maintaining a living passion for the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of what is happening around us. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. This man had a strategy. I have stored up your word in my heart. If you look at it, the way he wrote it, it's like he went to a barn and took everything that was stored in there and took it and stored it inside his heart. It's like consuming this word of God and keep it inside your heart in a way. He said, I've stored up your word in my heart. And there is one purpose why I will store up your word in my heart, is that I may not sin against you. I can do anything in this world. I can do anything. But if I sin with you, I have sinned against you,
then I've lost it.
I can drive my good car. I can be anything that I want to be. So this man had a strategy of living in this world without gratifying the desires of the flesh. How do you maintain a living passion for Jesus? If you are risen with Christ, new things that you begin to do, you must manifest a healthy walk or a right walk with the Lord Jesus Christ in the world full of deceit, world full of wicked things and pleasures and disappointments. Most of us have been disappointed in this world many different times. And there is only one way not to be disappointed. If I can just keep your word in my heart. So according to the Apostle Paul in this passage, a risen life is characterized by three sensations or three impressions. I want to give you three impressions that characterize a risen life, or three ways that characterize a risen life from the passage that we have read this morning. Firstly, a risen life is characterized by a spiritual gaze. A spiritual gaze. Verse 1 and 2. If then you have been risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated. Seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. In other words, as people look around and aim to gain the glories of this world, you aim to get the glories of heaven. You aim to get the glories that are above, the things that are in Christ. There are two types of people living in this world, whether we love it or not. Those who gratify the flesh and seek to get things of this world, to glory in this world, and those who are born of God and they look up to Jesus for their lives. Two types of people. Two types of kingdoms. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of darkness. The Apostle Paul says, you then need to have a spiritual gaze, because people in this world have a physical gaze. They look on the things of this world. They want to get fulfillment in the things of this world. But you can only find fulfillment on the things that are above. You can look around. You can go and search around, but you'll find nothing. Many of our brothers and sisters have left the church and went out looking for pleasures, looking for husbands, looking for wives. Perhaps because there's no husbands in the church, the church is still young, there's no ladies maybe to get married to, they went to the world. What happened? You all know. The Apostle Paul says, seek the things that glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. May you have a spiritual gaze. Look at things, in other words, the way that the Lord will look at things. Separate yourself from the mentality of this world. The Apostle Paul says then to this church of Colossae, they should be seeking spiritual things. They should be seeking heavenly things, things which they had not sought prior to their salvation. He's reminding the believers that if a man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I think that's where we lose it. We forget that once we are in Christ, we are a new man or a new woman. When I use the word man, I'm talking about humanity. We are a new man. The things of the past or the life that you used to live has passed away. When Christ hanged on that cross and he said, it is finished, your life of the past became finished. Behold something new, a life in Christ. It starts gradually. It's something that you won't see. It is not that when you get born again today, you become perfect today. No. That is why you need to set your mind on the things that are above, spiritual gaze. He's encouraging the church to live their lives, which are consistent life to the life that they have found in Christ. There must be a consistency. But why? Well, there are so many pretenders out there who live as though God cannot see in the dark where they live and brew and breed sin. There are so many pretenders out there who name themselves, the children of God. But they live wicked lives. Their minds are not set on the things on high, their minds are set on the things of the world. They live as though God cannot see in the dark where they live, where they brew sin and breed sin. So he says, you have been set free. That is the reason. Verse 17 says, whatever you do in the word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord. Give thanks to God the Father through him. That is now those who set their minds on the things on high. They do everything to give thanks to the Lord. They do everything in the name of the Lord. You are encouraged to seek the things that are above, to continue on the things that are above. The word seek here is not necessarily that you become like a scavenger, you go to the garbage and you're seeking something. This has to do with continuing on the life that you have already been given. Seek the things that are above, you continue focusing on the things that are above. You keep on striving for those things. You keep on aiming to obtain those things. And you try harder and harder day by day, living the godly life, to obtain those things that are on high. By looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Because that is the only greatest example there can ever be. You look at me, I will disappoint you. You look unto Jesus, you set your mind on the things on high. You try to obtain the things on high simply because nothing of this world have spiritual significance. In most cases, the things of this world will keep you under the bondage of sin and Satan. In most cases, the things of this world will keep you under bondage of sin and Satan. But you, according to the Apostle Paul, you are governed by the death of Christ Jesus, in which you have died yourself to the things of this world and sin. Your eyes are fixed unto Jesus. We are no longer under the domain and the authority of sin and Satan. We are no longer that vile and guilty, rebellious sinner born speaking lies, despising the things of God, despising the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, looking down on the things of heaven, seeking your own will and your own purpose, seeking your own glory in this world. We are no longer that person. That is what the Apostle Paul says. You are no longer that person. The question is then, why will you live in contrary to what you are? That is the question. Why do you then, church, the Colossians now, why would you want to accept the false teachers and the false believers among you? Well, you do not have control of who comes to the church. You do not have control who tries to run the church. Some other time people act to be good and we think they are saved. Then we ordain them as deacons and elders. So what can be the difference? Because when people walk down the street wearing the same clothes, I don't know who's Christian and who's not. The Apostle Paul said there can be a difference. It's when you live a life that is separate from the life of the world. That is all. Living the life of Christ. So unlike the false teachers that we have these days, the Apostle Paul is not encouraging us to seek for things that are within. Because the heart is deceitful. The heart is evil. The Apostle Paul knows that. So he's not encouraging the church to look within. There is no hope of spiritual enlightenment within our heart or down here below. There is no hope. There is nothing inside us. He says, set your minds where? on the things that are above. Look unto Jesus. But it's not a matter of physical eyes. It's a spiritual gaze. Looking unto Jesus. Living, in other words, the life of Christ. Continuing on the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Studying the Word of God day by day. Asking questions. Praying to the Lord. Help me, O God. I'm struggling with 1, 2, 3, 4. We all struggle with something. But the sin comes when we hide it from the Lord. The Lord knows our hearts. He searches the heart and is pleased with uprightness. So whenever you are struggling with whatever you are struggling, don't look away from the cross. Don't look inside you. Set your eyes on the things, or your mind on the things that are above. You can look inside, you'll find nothing. Looking from your friend or your husband, your wife, you will find nothing. So in other words then, you need to steer your ship to the right direction. Remember what happened? Remember how the Titanic sank? It was going to the right direction. But their minds were not set on the things on high. Their mind was set on the things within them. One man, I remember even now, I think I watched this thing 15 years ago. One man even said in that movie, this is the biggest and the strongest ship there is. Not even God can sink this ship. How can a man say that? You see, the focus was on them, on what they would achieve. They want to write history. God says, we are not here in this world to write history. We are here in this world to live the history that Jesus has already written for you. The Titanic sank. What happened to Noah's Ark? Especially to those of us who believe that there was a Noah's Ark. What happened to the Noah's Ark? Built by one man with a family perhaps. No experience. Knowing for sure that God will sink that ship. But his eyes were upon the Lord. Did the ship sink? No, the ship did not sink. It was carried up by the waters. It was set on the right place. Friend, if you lift up your eyes unto the hills where the help come from, you will be carried by the waves of the Spirit of the Lord, and you will be set right where God wants you to be. You must be determined about your walk with the Lord, for there is no other walk. There is no other contribution. There is no other move. There is no technique. There is no manner. There is no walk with the Lord but to trust and obey. The Bible gives us such examples. Men and women who walked with the Lord. Men and women who sought for the things that are above. Men and women who set their minds on the things on high. Remarkable men and women, but also ordinary people. Weak and sinful like me and you. People whose lives were marked by a transcendent passion for what this world could not offer. They look up to somewhere because they knew this world cannot offer them what they were looking for. Abraham, he left a familiar and a comfortable lifestyle. He went where the Lord led him to go without knowing where he was going. But because his eyes were set on the things that are above, his eyes were set on the promises of God, his eyes were set on the word of God, that is what we have and that is all that we'll ever have. Men and women who set their minds on the things on high. Remember Moses, who looked over the shoulders of Egypt and Midian, decided to walk the desert because the Lord had promised a place of milk and honey. He would rather have what he has not seen than be kept or caught into the things that he can see with his naked eyes. All the glory of Egypt, the sheep that he had in Midian, the throne that was waiting for him in Egypt, perhaps if he didn't kill that other man, he was going to be maybe a prince one day. He could have just went back and killed maybe 16,000 of the Jews that were there, or the Hebrews that were there. And Pharaoh would say, you have earned my loyalty. But he decided to walk the desert. He decided to trust the Lord. He decided to walk in the midst of the sea. Then the Lord opened the sea for him because he set his mind on the things that above. Can I ask, is there anything difficult for the Lord? So why would we not set our mind on the things on high? You do not have because you do not ask. And when you ask amiss. That's one of the verses in the Bible written by the Apostle James. His aim there says, seek the things that are above. Let your heart be caught, as it were, by the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. He chose to focus on the things that are above. He chose to be loyal to God. We need men and women who will rise and shine for God. We need men and women who would rather die without receiving what they desire in this world, but to die with nothing more than confidence in the God they have believed, knowing for sure that one day he will give what he has promised to you. I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded that one day he shall give unto me that which he has promised, or that which I have entrusted unto him. That leads you to set your mind on the things of earth that are above. Knowing. The point here is to know the person that sits enthroned. That's why in verse number 1 it also says it's Christ that is seated above. So I'm not just pointing my spiritual gaze unto heaven to something I do not know. Praise the Lord. We know now what is up there. Christ was crucified for us, now interceding for us in the heavens, seated on the right hand of God, happy to call you and me his children. The very same people who would have killed him if we were there with those people. In other words, you should value Christ more than anything in this world. You must have Christ in one hand and sin on the other hand. And Christ must be more attractive to you than the sin of this world. Every time. You need to continue in the faith. You need to continue in the gathering of believers. You need to continue in prayer. You need to continue in studying God's word. You need to continue loving one another as Christ loved the church and he gave himself for her. You need to continue honoring your husband. You need to continue loving your wife. You need to continue respecting your parents. Because this world has nothing for us. To set your mind on the things above is to have the Holy Spirit drawing us to knowing God even more. But perhaps you're sitting here, you still find yourself clinging to the things of this world and to the legitimate joys it offers. Because there are other things that this world offers. Doesn't mean everything that the world offers you will see as bad. Some of the things looks very, very good. Perhaps you're still sitting here and you're clinging to those things. Let me be clear. There is a future that lies out there. We'll get to that. There is a future. This world is not our home. We are just passing by. Set your mind on the things on high. Let me make this example. It's like going to a restaurant and you blot yourself with starter. You know, you have a starter, main course and dessert. Then you go there, you bloat yourself with starter. My friend, you're not going to make it to the main course. You're not going to enjoy your dessert. That's the point I'm trying to make here, my friend. Do not occupy yourself with the things that are worthless, the things of this world. It's passing by. Don't consume so much of this world. There is a main course and a dessert that is still to come. Actually, dessert is much enjoyable than the starter. So, what is the point? Look forward to what the Lord has for you. Do not occupy yourself with the things of this world. But well, let's move on. Secondly, a risen life is characterized by a new spiritual status. A new spiritual status. I know the word status, it's more popular to the African context. They like to have status. That's the status I'm talking about. They want to have status. They want to make a mark and to be known, most of the people. A risen life should be characterized by a spiritual status. I will explain to you. According to chapter number 3, where we just read in verse 3, we are no longer of the world. That is clear. We have put on Christ. Your life is hidden in Him. He has taken away your sin. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Unlike the rest of the world, your life is now moving to a different direction. We are no longer walking in that broad way that leads to destruction, but we are now walking in the narrow way that leads to life. Your life is hidden in Christ. We're seated above and enthroned. In other words, your life is hidden in a person who upholds the universe with a powerful hand and is now ruling with God. Your life is hidden in such a person. I'm trying to show you how insignificant your life is, but now hidden in such a glorious, such a beautiful Savior who upholds the universe in the palm of His hand. Can you imagine? What kind of a status would you have having to walk with the Lord? To be known. Friends, I don't even know why is not a status to say I'm walking with Jesus. But it's a status to say I'm walking with Julius Malema. What's wrong with you people? I didn't say anything wrong. Something is wrong with you guys. But here's the question. Why we hide that we are walking with God? But that is our spiritual status. Not everybody in the world has that. The Buddhist doesn't have that. The Hindu man doesn't have that. The Islam boy doesn't have that. All the cults, even those around us here, doesn't have that. They are not walking with the Lord. They are not attached to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are not risen with Him. They are still dead in their sins and trespasses. This is our spiritual status. We walk with the Lord. According to chapter number 3, verse 3, where we are now, you have died in your life, and your life is hidden with God. It says, you have died. Let's continue quickly. You have died. You are dead to the world. You are dead to sin. You are dead to earthly pleasures. Then he continues to say, your life is hidden. The emphasis there is that your life now is hidden in Christ, like I've just said, meaning that your death is actually real. Your death is real. It's not like you are some kind of unconscious in some way. You're dead. You are dead to the things of this world. What does it mean when you are dead to the things of this world? He says, you have died. We have died, but you are alive at the same time. Can you see the puzzle? We have died, but at the same time, we are alive. We have died on the things of the world, meaning now we are alive in Christ. That's the status I was talking about. In other words, your life has become a treasure worth hiding in God. Nothing else in this world can be hidden in the palm of God's hand or in the heart of God but your life. Nothing. Your life is now hidden in God. You can take as much treasure and gold that you want in this life. Try to hide it in the Lord. He will not receive it. He doesn't care. But if you bring your life unto Him, if you say, Lord, I am a sinner, I turn away from my wickedness, I trust unto you right now, will you save me, O God? I believe with the whole of my heart. What happens? Your life gets hidden in Christ. The only thing that can be hidden in Christ or in God through Christ, your life. How precious your life has become in the hands of God. What a status that the Apostle Paul is giving to us today. And nothing now can take you away from the Lord. If you are hidden in Him, the phrase there tells us of great security. Nothing can take you away from Him. What a glorious God who saves and keeps. You have a new spiritual status, my friend. We are no longer that man or that woman who used to stand in the corner of Hades and hell and enjoying all the wicked things of this world. We are now a man or a woman standing before God and worshiping Him with the whole of your heart. So there is a sense here that the life that you live right now is not your life, actually, it is God's life. Can you imagine, my friend, having the opportunity of living once? Once, just a day, living the life of the US President, Mr. Barack Hussein Obama. What a privilege can that be? I know you're smiling. You wanted me to say a life with, of Mr. Jacob Zuma. I wouldn't call them. Can you imagine living the life of the United States President for 1 hour? What a privilege in this world. But what I'm talking about here, friends, is greater, much greater, million times better than living a life of any man in this world that you admire. Living the life of Christ. I wanted you to see how important it looks to live the life of Obama, but then how great it is that your life is hidden, or you're living a life of God. You are set apart from this dying world. We have entered entirely in a new way of thinking, in a new way of living. You live your life as though you are in heaven. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Your citizenship is no longer here on the earth, but it is where? It is in heaven, where we await a Savior who is coming to glorify us and give us that glorified body and take us home where we belong. We are joined to Christ in such a way that we are separated from anything of the former life that we have believed, that we have lived. Colossians chapter 2 verse 20 says, with Christ you died to the elementary spirit of this world. We are no longer submissive to the things of this world, to the earthly pleasures of this world, to the earthly recreations of this world. But you live a life worthy of his name. That is the point. So my friends, when Christ arose from the dead, you were risen with him. Now you live a better life, a life that pleases the Lord. We have reached the greatest heights of this world. We are no longer looking for the greatest heights of the world because we have already come to that. We are no longer looking for the riches of the world because we are rich when we are in him. You are rich when you are in him. You may be looking poor, but in him you are rich. Your aim is to live a life that pleases him. There is one thing that you seek after. There is one thing that you desire, that you may dwell in the house of the Lord for the rest of your life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. Because you understand that something has happened to you. You are risen with Christ. You have a new status. You are no longer living a double life. There are so many people who live a double life. I want to plead with you, my friend. Do not claim. That's why it says, if then you have been risen with Christ, do not claim to be risen with Christ and live a double life. Living a life of obedience on Sunday and disobedience throughout the week. Like a submarine, you have become a submarine Christian. You sneak out on Sunday to the surface and dip down to sin throughout the week. Friends, we have been risen with God, with Christ in God. No submarine Christian. You are a ship. We must see where you're going. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because you know all things will be given unto you. So you do not strive for the things of this world. You strive for the divine blessings that comes from God. We have a new status, as I've been saying. So do not allow the things of the world to steal your status. Look at the celebrities, what they do. I'm not saying that is the life you need to aim for, because it's a horrible life, ask me, I know. What they do, once they become celebrities, they accept that they have a new status. They leave the township and go to where? To Centene. Spiritually speaking, leave the township. Can we welcome you in Centene, please? Leave Boxburg and go to America. Charlize Theron. That is what I'm talking about, friends. There has to be a past and a present, because there is a future that is to come. You cannot hang on the things of the past. You cannot hang on with your friends of the past. You cannot hang on the rubbish that you used to do. You have to strip off those things, as it were, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith. Accept a new status, because that's what you have, unless you have not been born of God. The Bible says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the heart, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whosoever does the will of God abides forever. That is the point. There is a great change that has happened, that has taken place since your regeneration, my friend. The old life is over and the new life has begun. Old sequence of living has passed away. Old thoughts, old system, old beliefs has been taken away. Now there's a new course of life, a life of faith and holiness. We are able to say now, I live and not I any longer, but Christ. Though I walk the dusty streets of Catholic home, I do not belong on those dusty streets of Catholic home. I belong where Christ is. Where is Christ? Seated above. My home is far away. I'm just passing. I need to shake off the dust of Catholic home so that I can make it home. Spiritually speaking, I need to let go of sin and concentrate and to the death. Thirdly, I know I've been going very slow today. A risen life is characterized by a blessed spiritual hope. There is a blessed spiritual hope. Verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Remember, it was the Lord Jesus Christ who said to his disciples, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. Friends, when Christ, who is your life, Christ is your life now. He's no longer just your savior. He is your life. That is what you live. You live Christ. When they poke you on the side, something that you come out is not actually blood, it's Christ. Spiritually speaking. But when Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him. The first thing that you need to notice here is that he is going to appear. It says here he will appear. 1 John chapter 2 verse 28 agrees. It says, and now little children abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. He is coming back again, my friend. And this should encourage your spiritual gaze then. This should encourage your spiritual status, because the man that you look up to, the man that you live his life, is coming, and is coming for you. Because when he appears, you will appear with him. Listen to what the apostle said earlier on in chapter number 1, verse 27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So in other words, Christ is now present in your heart. Christ is now present in your life. And he continues to cultivate, to work in you for the future glory. He constitutes now your hope. So friends, this should come as words of encouragement to you, that there is a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over there, over the way, to prepare a dwelling place for us there. The wicked, the unbelievers, those who have not come to Jesus, have no hope. But there's a place for you. But what is glorious about this is not just the place where you're going, is that Christ actually will come back for you. He will not let the world think anything else. He will show the world that you belong to him. He will come back for you. When he appears, you shall appear with him. The helpless world out there, they will be led to a place of destruction. The day is coming, my friend, when you shall see the Lord face to face, when you shall gaze upon his beauty, when you shall marvel at the things that has been prepared for you. Because no eyes have seen, no ear have heard of the things that the Lord has prepared for those who believe in him. I will appeal to anyone this morning. who has not come to the Lord Jesus Christ to come to the Lord. Regardless of the fact maybe that you're living a good, a more, a better, appealing life than someone who claims to be a Christian, that's not the point. Come to Christ. Come to the Lord. Because when He appears and you are not found to have believed in Him, you will not appear with Him. You will not appear with Him. It's like, let me put it this way, we as Christians are like a tree in the winter. It is alive, but it looks dead. The leaves are down. Nothing is showing. Wait until it is spring. You will see those leaves blossoming before everybody else. We are waiting for the appearing, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing more. He is coming back. And He's coming back for us. Is He coming back for you? Have you put your trust in Him? If so, verse number 5, put to death therefore what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires. In other words, you must have a proof of this blessed hope. What is the proof of the blessed hope? What is the proof that you will appear with Him? Verse 5. That's the proof that you will appear with Him. You'll be a person who have put away death. Sorry, you have put away the worthless things of this world, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires. In other words, put away your sin. Put sin to death. Continue in the ways of the Lord. Cultivate your Christian life. Cultivate this new identity that you have in Christ. Don't be like the world out there. People still suffering with sexual immorality, passion, evil desires. Why? Why should you not be like the world? Verse number 6. On account of this thing, the wrath of God is coming. Friends, they will be crying, running to the rocks, running to the mountains, asking the mountains to fall upon them. You don't want to be there. Put your trust in the Lord. Continue. I know most of you have done that. So continue. Regardless of the winds that are blowing, set your minds on the things on high. You need to put yourself under the microscope of God's word. Am I still standing in the Lord? Do I have a brother-to-brother relationship with the Son of God, or a brother-to-sister relationship with the Son of God? Do I have a father-to-son and a father-to-daughter relationship with God through His Son? Is there any connection? Does my message that I communicate go through to Him? Does His message also come to me? Or there's that barrier in between that separates us. What is the barrier? The sin. It is your sin that has separated you from the Lord. Is that been taken away? Are you saved, my friends? If you are not, when He appears, you will not appear with Him. Let me close like this. If you have been risen with Christ, you need to show evidence by seeking the things that are above. You need to show evidence by setting your minds on the things that are on high. Not caught up with the philosophies of this world, but caught up with the love of God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Think careful on the things of God. Let your heart be entirely absorbed by the things of God. Be consistently on guard against spiritual shipwreck. Be on guard. The days are evil. Make sure that it is nothing which drives your focus downwards, but your focus must be always upwards. The reason life is characterized by a spiritual gaze, a spiritual status in Christ, and a blessed hope. So make habits of directing your life away from the world, away from sin, but focusing on the Lord. Keep in contact with the Lord. Speak to the Lord in prayer, through the reading of His word, through studying His word. Be in contact with the Lord. Be determined on your walk with the Lord. Do not be preoccupied with the things of this world. Remember, you cannot hold Jesus on one hand and sin, on the other hand, it cannot be done. Do not let the troubles of this world, the cares of this world, steal your joy in the Lord. Make every effort to exterminate sin in your life. It is your duty to exterminate sin in your life. Let me just add. Stop praying about your sin. Stop it. Put on Christ. Put away the life of the past that you once lived, and live a life now of partnership with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you continue with him, if you continue with him, when he appears, you will appear with him. That is the blessed hope. And that is the risen life. With a spiritual gaze, spiritual status, that's the life that we live, because we have a blessed hope that is to come. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, our greatest God, thank you this morning for the reminder that we are risen with Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the ways that you have given to us. Father, help our understanding of your word. Help us sink this word deep down our hearts. Allow us, O God, to meditate on it. Allow us, Heavenly Father, to examine our lives through it. Thank you that you again and again ensuring us that we are your children. Thank you for Jesus that you have sent into the world to die on the cross for us, that we may die to sin, that we may also live as he lives, and then that we may be able to face tomorrow. We ask all this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Church of God say Amen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you very much. You want this drink?